Lazarus is dead. These blunt words of the Lord Jesus brought no comfort to the 12. And then Christ added words which made the mystery deeper still. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. At this point in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus and the apostles are down by the River Jordan, near where John baptized, and they went there from Jerusalem at the end of chapter 10 because the temple authorities wanted to stone Jesus to death for the crime of blasphemy, a charge made against the Savior because of his teaching that he and God the Father are one. It was there by the Jordan that a messenger arrived from Mary and Martha with urgent news for Jesus. Their brother, his dear friend Lazarus, was dying. But instead of returning immediately to Bethany, as Martha and Mary clearly hoped he would, the Word made flesh remained down by the Jordan for 2 more days, deliberately waiting for Lazarus to die. But why? Because we are all going to die, even those of us who are alive in Christ. After man's fall from grace, death is part of the human condition. And while the Messiah did come to save us from eternal death, he did not come to prevent us from dying in this life. And so when Jesus finally resolved to return to Jerusalem, Thomas spoke for the other apostles, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Through his repeated demonstrations of mastery over nature, the Lord Jesus revealed that he is God the Father's only begotten Son. And in his miracles or signs, we glimpse the divine glory which was hidden under the veil of his human nature. But even God the Son came as man to suffer and die. And so neither the signs of the Lord Jesus nor the sacraments of his church put an end to our suffering and death. Instead, the signs and sacraments transform the meaning of our suffering and death and raise our sights to understand that our life in this created order is but the promise of the life to come in the new creation on the last day. The interplay of these two types of life is at the heart of the exchange between Martha and the Lord Jesus. As he approached their home in Bethany, Martha rushed out to meet their friend and rabbi with a greeting that was both a confession of faith and a rebuke for his delay. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha knew that Jesus could have saved her brother's life. But for some reason, he chose not to do so. And when we are confronted with suffering and death, we also often experience just such a collision of faith and rebuke in our own hearts. Everyone we know and love will one day grow sick and die, as will we. And when grave illness arrives, those of us who know that Jesus Christ is Lord will naturally do what Mary and Martha did, bring the danger of death to the Lord's attention in the hope that lives may be spared. But though miracles do still happen, the Messiah did not come to end our suffering and death. He came rather to suffer and die with us and for us. By his death and resurrection, Christ transforms the meaning of our suffering. And on the last day, he will deliver us from the grave forever. And so the Lord Jesus said to the heartbroken Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha replied, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." To which the Savior responded with the astonishing truth of the gospel, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" This, friends, is the fundamental question of all Christian faith in life. Do we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Word who became man to heal a broken world by the forgiveness of sins and to make all things new by his suffering, death, and resurrection? Martha came to believe these sacred mysteries are true, as did her sister Mary and many of those who witnessed the event about to unfold. But in the face of death, even those who know that Jesus Christ is Lord are still touched by grief, as was the Savior himself. After confessing her faith in Christ, Martha then went home to bring her sister to meet the Lord, and Mary came out of the house followed by a crowd of mourners. They were all sitting shiva together for Lazarus, and as they approached Jesus, they were all weeping. Tears come to us for many reasons, including pain, joy, anger, shame, mirth, and shock. But ordinarily, we use the word weep to describe only the tears of grief. When the Lord Jesus saw Mary and the crowd of mourners weeping, he was, St. John tells us, deeply troubled and moved in spirit. And when they came to the tomb, even Jesus wept. The Savior lingered in that desert 2 days precisely so that his friend would die. He already knew that in a moment he would restore Lazarus to life in order to reveal the truth of his divine nature. And he had just helped Martha to look beyond the grave to the eternal life of the resurrection. And still, Jesus wept. The death of his friend moved Jesus deeply and troubled his heart with grief, because he is a man like us in all things but sin. And so Jesus wept because death is always lamentable. That truth should console us when our hearts are troubled by the death of those we love, because our grief is first softened and then finally healed by being shared with others, including with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus does share the grief of every man, woman, and child who will ever live and die. At last, Jesus of Nazareth stood at the tomb of Lazarus and ordered the stone covering the sepulchre to be removed. Martha warned him that her brother had been dead for 4 days, and so the tomb would be filled with the stench of death. Jesus replied, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then, after a prayer of thanks and petition to his heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to be the author of life. He did so by commanding the dead man, "Lazarus, come out!" And to the complete astonishment of the crowd, a dead man did walk out of his tomb, still wrapped in his burial cloths, but alive again. Now here we must note that this extraordinary gift to Lazarus was not the grace of the resurrection. That would have to wait until the end of days. As with the other two people restored to life by the Lord Jesus, the son of the widow of Nain and the daughter of Jairus, Lazarus was given back his life only for a time. The brother of Martha and Mary had to die again and be buried again. Lazarus will receive the gift of everlasting life with all who are redeemed by Christ only on the last day, when the risen Lord returns in glory to judge the living and the dead and reveal the eternal kingdom of God to all flesh. The prophet Ezekiel proclaimed to Israel the good news of the Lord's power over death. Thus says the Lord, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them. And so the Lord Jesus called Lazarus out of his grave on that day in Bethany to reveal his divine glory through his power over death, only a few days before going to his own grave at Calvary. In John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus is the seventh and last sign worked by the Lord Jesus to awaken saving faith in his disciples, with the first of those signs being the changing of water into wine at a wedding feast. Of that event, John wrote, This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. But recall what that first sign meant for the Lord. When the shortage of wine was pointed out to Jesus by his mother Mary, he answered, My hour has not yet come, because the Savior knew what would follow the revelation that he is the Son of Man. All of the signs of his divine glory led the Lord Jesus, step by step, to his final destination, the hour of his suffering and death on the cross. Next week, we will proclaim together the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The raising of Lazarus was the final public event in the ministry of Christ before his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And so, now we enter Passiontide, and we prepare to share in his Passover as we celebrate the sacred mysteries of Holy Week. By dying, he has destroyed our death, and by rising, he has restored our life. Friends, even in the midst of death, we are in life. If only we belong to Christ Jesus and have been made by him a new creation through the grace of our baptism and the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love which are poured into us by the Holy Spirit when we are born again to become members of Christ, children of God, and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And so we pray. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.